Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson, one of the co-founders of Fit Chicks and Fit Chicks Academy. And today I'm flying solo, except I have a super special guest with me. So it is Shelby. I can never say your last name. Is it Schling?
It's Schling.
Schling. Okay. Yes. I want to call it Shelby Schling. I already am messing this up. Who is the host of Loving Over Losing, which is an amazing podcast all about essentially body image, loving yourself over just focusing on weight loss. And she's also a fitness model. And I've been on her show and I just loved our chat so much and your philosophy and what you stand for. So I wanted to come and bring you into our world and introduce you to our Fit Chicks. So welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, after I already butchered your names, my apologies.
Oh, it's okay.
When you have a name like Laura Jackson, you can't really go wrong with it. But anytime someone has a last name that's like a little bit like the lettering, some silent, I'm like, oh no, I know I'm going to butcher this.
Oh God. Oh yeah, me too. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Okay, well, I would love to just kind of start off with talking about your podcast. So how long have you been doing this for?
So I actually haven't been doing it that long. I started in January, and I started because I was on a podcast. It was called the Yoga Moves You podcast, and someone was interviewing me, and he happened to also be a radio. He used to be on the radio, and now he does like production and stuff. So he actually has his own business where he helps people start podcasts and edits them and stuff like that. So he was kind of like reached out to me afterwards and said, hey, our conversation was really interesting. I think you have a lot to say. You might be able to help more people if you start your own. So I kind of thought about that for a while. I had a blog at the time that was kind of big. And it was the same, it's Living Over Losing. And it was, I just thought that a podcast would be better for me personally because writing, I was getting a lot out writing, but I don't know. I just feel like having a conversation with someone else is even more effective than just writing something yourself, which I still do blog, but I just thought it brought like a different dynamic to it. So yeah, I started. And also podcasts for me, they were super, super helpful to me when I was going through hard times, and they still are when I am going through hard times, just to listen to other people that are going through the same things. Is very, very helpful, and to listen to, you know, maybe like advice that they have or stories that they have. It's just comforting to know that you're not alone.
No, so, for sure.
Yeah. So that was super important to me. So I wanted to start my own.
So then kind of going back behind the blog before starting your own, like what was the motivation behind even starting this? Cause I know at first when we were first talking, I was creepy on your Instagram and seeing all your hot fitness modeling pictures. But when we had a conversation, it was just like our stories too were so parallel. And I've been very open on this podcast too about my struggles with an eating disorder and body image and all that stuff. And I just really, I honestly was pretty shocked because I just kind of thought you seem like this, you know, completely, not the mainstream fitness, but you know what I mean? Like that kind of like, yeah, I just go, grind. And I just loved your story when you started sharing it.
So I think that was like a false identity that I had for a long time. And I think when I started my Instagram, so my Instagram has taken on different names. Now it's just my name, Shelby Schling. Before it used to be Shelb Fit, and everyone like would literally call me Shelb Fit in person too. And that was my identity. And it was kind of like a false identity because I was promoting health and these fancy like diets or these super healthy foods and these crazy workouts. And on the Instagram at the time, I was only sharing like little parts of that, but obviously behind the scenes there was like a lot more going on that wasn't healthy. So I was definitely over exercising. I was definitely way too concerned with what I was eating, binge eating, and then feeling like I had to make up for that. And then it was just like this awful cycle. And I think finally, I just kind of got to a point, and this was like almost a year ago, or more than a year ago, a little bit over a year ago. I got to a point where it was just so consuming and exhausting and literally taking up every aspect of my life to the point that I didn't even have space to think about anything else, that I knew that something had to change. And I don't know. I knew something had to change. So I started a blog to kind of help myself, honestly, at the same time, because it was kind of a way to write things down. Mm-hmm. And I think my first blog entry was like a letter saying goodbye to my eating disorder. And that was kind of like the start of this entire process. And of course I had to get I went to therapy and I got outside help, but I just had gotten to a point where I knew that this was just too much. And it was I felt like it was almost like a false identity, because, and even still, sometimes I feel like that, like with my Instagram, I'm questionable, but because I still wanted to model, mm-hmm. Because I enjoy that. I enjoy meeting people. But then I feel like, oh, well, how can I promote this and do that? And I think that's just getting too far into it. My intentions are so much different. And so I tried to change the focus of the Instagram from being okay, here, if you guys want to look like this, then you need to do this workout. You need to eat this and you need to do that. And then blah, blah, blah. Now it's more just, I don't know. I try to be more realistic of this is what I do and this is how whatever, but I also struggle with this and I have these issues, because I am recovered from an eating disorder now, 100%, but that anxiety and stuff comes up in other ways now. So I feel like just being transparent and not pretending like I'm this perfect human being is really important.
Well, yeah. And it's really brave. And that's the thing too. I think, you know, it's a journey, right? And even when I look back at my journey throughout, you know, being in the fitness industry and doing all different types of things, from, you know, doing fitness competitions for a while, I was pro them. Then, you know, now I have a totally different feeling about them. And then I'm kind of whoa, do I sound like a hypocrite? But it's part of your self-growth too, right? As you change and you grow and you know what works for your body. And I also think that's one of the things that's beautiful about getting older, is you kind of, you know, you start to trust yourself a lot more. You start to trust your intuition and, you know, when things feel wrong. And I don't know. I think you just need to let it flourish the way it's meant to flourish.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah. And that's different too, because I've had a past with eating issues and eating disorders and anxiety, but I think it started before I even graduated high school. So that was 10 years ago. So from 10 years ago till now, I've just grown up as a human being and gotten more, you know, more life experiences and more, maybe a little bit more mature. I don't know about completely, but maybe a little.
Oh God, me too. Don't worry.
And so I don't know. So that definitely helps too. And I don't know. It came to the point where I was I don't have anything else in my life besides this. Why is this the only thing that I can focus on? Because I had to give so much time to it. And it, honestly, without it, I feel so much better, and I'm not even, it's not like I don't even have to try. But if you would have told me that, you know, a year ago, I would have never believed it.
So as you kind of got into this industry in fitness modeling, so when we're talking about fitness modeling, we're not talking about fitness competitions. We're talking about actually you model for fitness. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Is it the print ads, commercials, things like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And which, you look amazing and you're beautiful, FYI.
Thank you.
But did you find that once you got into that kind of world where everything is focused on your external, is that when you found your eating disorder really triggered, or was it earlier than that?
No, it was earlier than that. I think I used modeling as an excuse of why I kept kind of being so crazy about it. It definitely had happened before. And I know that obviously for some people, modeling can trigger and that's definitely true. But for me, I was already there before I started. Mm-hmm. But it was, like I said, an excuse. So for an example, I'd be like, well, I'm going to go to the gym for however many hours a day because I am a fitness model. When that had nothing, you know, I didn't need to do that. That had nothing to do with it. But I used it as an excuse to keep doing like the unhealthy things.
Well, I know you and I talked a lot about this when I was on your podcast about, you know, my feelings too, how a lot of times when it comes to things like fitness competitions or photo shoots or things like that, it's a very easy for girls to get caught up or mixed up even. They might not even know they're doing it, but as in a structured eating disorder in a sense, like, or creating eating disorders for themselves, because it's like, it's such a thing that people get validated for, right? Like you're like, whoa, she goes to the gym all the time. Like she's so disciplined and like, oh my God, this, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like this thing in our society that we think is so great, but not realizing that you're actually doing more harm than good and triggering for a lot of people, a lot of things they didn't even know were there or maybe already existed. And then it like makes it even worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. It does. It definitely makes it worse. And I think, I mean, of course I'd be lying if I said that that wasn't in the back of my mind. Like I was terrified to gain weight or change or whatever because of, then I'm going to stop modeling. And I don't know what I would do if I stopped modeling because that's how I find validation. And that's like a huge thing for me is for some reason, I don't know why, but my whole entire life, I feel like I've needed external validation.
Oh, don't worry. So do I. I think the majority of people do.
So I'm like really working on that even still, even though that's not, like I said, that might not come up in eating disorder exercise ways anymore, but it still is there. And it's something that I constantly have to be like aware of.
But that's why I think it's really important to have these type of conversations, because I think that there are so many women out there who are like right now listening to what you're saying and raising their hand and saying, that's me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it's really important to, you know, have that transparency. Because even earlier when you said, you know, you're recovered from an eating disorder, for me personally, I don't like to ever say I'm recovered. So I dealt with bulimia for 15 years, like hardcore, actively. Mm-hmm. And even while I was working in fitness and, you know, I went through those feelings of feeling like a fraud and here I am, you know, promoting this healthy lifestyle and I'm hurting myself, but it was like, there's so many other things tied into eating disorders, right? Mm-hmm. But it's something I personally find more comfort in never saying I'm recovered. Like I'm almost like, it's something I know is always a part of me. It is a part of my identity, unfortunately. And it's something I'm always going to have to be aware of. And that's where my self-care comes in too, right? Like when I start going down the rabbit hole, I'm like, okay, whoa, I can see it now, as opposed to before when it first even started. It's like, I didn't even know what was happening when it was started happening. Cause I could kind of, I guess, validate it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's crazy because then you don't even realize too, like I lost awareness of what was even going on and I didn't even realize, like, I think I knew maybe in the back of my head that, okay, this isn't normal. There's a problem here, but I could easily be like, no, it's not. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's because I was so scared of making a change.
So when you wrote that letter to yourself, what kind of prompted that? Were you like, so you hit the wall and you're just like, I can't do this anymore. So what gave you, like, what gave you that bravery? What gave you that to think this? Cause I love that idea. I think that's such a powerful and really, really, really brave thing to do, to be that vulnerable and put that out there.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was scary. Honestly, I don't really know. I think that I needed to do it for myself and I did write it for myself first. And then I was like, you know what? This could help a lot of people, because I looked at people. So when I was kind of like struggling, I followed a bunch of people on Instagram and whatever that I maybe like wished, oh, I could look like her. I wish I could do what she was doing. And some of those girls actually came out and were like, hey, I have issues. Like, mm-hmm. Or I used to have issues. Like this is not, it's so easy to make everything look perfect and, oh, that my life is perfect. And I just, you know, and then to have somebody come out and say, actually, that's not true. And I've had these problems. I've struggled with this. I've struggled with binge eating. I've struggled with validation. And like seeing someone that I looked up to say that was really helpful to me. Like it was really powerful to me. So I was like, maybe I could help somebody else if I just you know, like kind of like giving back. And it's hard and it's scary because of course, when you put something out there like that, like everyone can read it and anyone can read it and anyone can say anything about you and whether that be good or bad or whatever. And that's scary. But I just felt like, I don't know, I felt like it was something that I had to do. And then from there, I kept blogging. And then eventually the podcast started.
So now do you feel like with the podcast, is that more of the focus for you that you really want to grow mm-hmm. with that? Because I know with your podcast, you have on like a mix of different, do you have men on too or is it mostly women?
No, I have mostly women, but I have had, I think I've had two men. Yes. And it's kind of evolving a little bit because of different things happening in my life and different, just kind of, I mean, I don't know. The main focus I would say is still eating disorder recovery, but you can kind of take that into other parts of life, like other parts of, I don't know, like maybe it's some kind of traumatic event, something like getting over a traumatic event or getting over just basically like dealing with anxiety, stress, and the need for feeling like you, I don't know, I just trusting yourself, loving yourself, and that can take on different forms. So not every single episode is 100% about eating disorders anymore, but some of them are. It really just depends.
Well, I think all those things are so important. Where I feel like we're at kind of a time right now where the more support we can have in the area of mental health, because I think that's something that a lot of people are still overlooking. And, you know, even when it comes to eating disorders or any type of disordered patterns, it really is a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. And so many times we try to kind of brush it off as just like, no, it's just, it's body image issues or it's this. Well, the root of it though is a mental health issue. And that's, you've got to fix what's between your ears, right? Before you can fix anything that's in your body.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But that's why like all of those topics I think are so amazing because it's just, you know, the more we start to realize, like I find it amazing how like how many people out there, the number one thing that people feel is they feel they're not good enough. And then that's why a lot of times it takes on all these other forms, right? Of like trying to get like the validation from, you know, whether it be posting a ton of pictures or being like a workaholic or, you know, dating a million people or whatever it is that kind of it translates into. It's like, we're trying to find this thing to fill our cup. So mm-hmm. that being said, what do you do then? Is there anything that you've personally done that you have found has really helped with that area of self-validation to help you, like whether it be exercises or books or things that you've done that have helped you kind of let that go?
Yeah, a lot of, so like I said, I feel like it's an ongoing process for me. But what helps me a lot is things that bring, I tend to like, hence the eating disorder, have a really hard time with like mind body connection. Like my mind is always going a mile a minute and like,
girl, you are me.
So I have like a really hard time with that. And I think a lot of it's anxiety and I can like, I don't know. And so I try to do things that bring me back into myself. So I remember when I first started recovering from an eating disorder, someone had mentioned meditating and I was like, no, that's not going to work. That's stupid. But actually it really does help, even if it just helps a little bit for a little bit of time. And then I might, you know, maybe an hour later feel anxious again or something comes back up. But over time, if you just keep doing it, like it eventually, it's like any other muscle. It gets easier. It gets better. It gets just more trained. And so things like that help me. Yoga helps me. Reading books help me, with certain like health, self-help books, whether it be, I love Brené Brown and she's not necessarily dedicated to eating disorders, but she, you can tie really all of her books into any kind of self-care, self-help. And so I love her. And like I said, too, podcasts, like I try and I can tell a difference when I am not listening. I try to listen to one, like at least a couple a week and walk outside. Cause that's like really therapeutic to me mm-hmm. and listening to different podcasts, like whether it be about eating disorders. And even though I'm, you know, technically recovered, I still get something out of it because like I said, you can really tie recovery into any area of life because I feel like at the surface, or not at the surface, at like the deep reason why that's happening, like those kinds of anxieties and stresses and things that you don't want to deal with and you might not even be aware of at the time are still there. So it's like you maybe you recovered from the eating disorder, but those things are still there. And so you have to like work through the things that caused your eating disorder to happen in the first place.
Completely. That is something I mean, even in all of our Fitchix Academy programs, so we have different certification programs, our fitness and nutrition expert, our holistic nutrition and weight loss expert, but it's always about getting the body in balance. And in both of them, we always talk about getting to the root. So many times we treat the symptom. We just look at the symptom. Like we look at the eating disorder and think, I just need to stop doing that. But if you kind of let go and don't even kind of for a bit, just even if the eating disorder is still there, you don't even think about it, but you start to try to like dig deeper and find what that root is. Like why? And keep asking yourself, why, you know, like it usually you can start to peel it back. Cause I know for me, when mine started, it was in high school as well, which I find for a lot of women, that's, you know, it's kind of when things get triggered, especially cause you know, puberty and your body's changing and you have no self-esteem and all of these things. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was just, for me, a lot of it was to do with anxiety. Like I was just so anxious that it was a way I couldn't communicate my feelings. So for me, which is crazy now because all I do is talk, but I couldn't communicate my feelings. So it was like a physical representation of like pushing down food to almost like push down your feelings. You know what I mean? And then they would all come spilling over, which would essentially be binging and purging. So it was kind of like dealing with the root causes of that anxiety. And you know, there's childhood stuff and all of these things. But once I kind of focused on that, it was almost like it ripped out that weed right by the root. And I just suddenly was like, whoa, I'm starting to let it go. But I was like you, I had that like kind of hit the wall moment where I was so sick of just being sick. I was just so sick of it. Like I was like, I can't do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think that's common. Like it gets to that point where it's just so exhausting, and that can happen at different times for everyone. Mm-hmm. But eventually it happens because I mean, it's almost impossible to live that way forever. Like it is impossible because I mean, you're just driving yourself crazy. And also it's not healthy. Like physically it's not healthy. And there comes a time where your body's just like, I cannot do this anymore.
I know. It's one of those things that's so hard. Even I had a girl actually email me not long ago, probably about 3 weeks ago. And she was saying how she had listened to a podcast where I was talking very openly about, you know, my experience. And she was just like, oh my gosh, like I just like, it gave me hope, but she's like, I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. Like I have no idea what to do. And it just broke my heart for her. Cause it brought me back to that time where you just feel so helpless. But at the same time, it's just like, once you kind of get to that point, like I just want anyone who's listening right now, just please remember there is always you will get to the other side. Like you can get to the other side. That's just part of the process of getting there. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you've got to get that to that low point to be like, I deserve better than this. And so for you then, as that kind of shift happened, how did that healing process kind of start for you too?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was very hard to make even like little changes that now I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I was scared of eating a piece of pizza or something like so ridiculous and so small that to me now is not a big deal, but then was really like a panic attack.
Yeah.
Because I was so scared of what, cause if, I don't know, for so long you like make up these rules in your head and they become reality. And I was living in this like false reality where, and I knew that other people, not everybody was there because I would be around other people and they would casually be eating whatever they wanted or, you know, their exercise routine wasn't super regimented and like a religion, but I didn't understand them at all. Like I thought that what I was doing was right. And so to start changing the way that I thought about things was hard, and I definitely had to do it like a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't something that I just woke up and was like, okay, I'm just going to completely change myself, because that's not realistic. And even if I tried to do that, I wouldn't have been able to stick with that. So I started with small changes. And by small changes, I mean maybe eating like something that I was scared of once a week. And then I would do something the next week. And then after that, it got easier. And then I did something that I was scared of, like making a new friend, because I'm sure that, you know, like when you're in the midst of everything, you don't really have time for relationships because you're so focused on this like craziness that's going on in your head that it's hard to really even be in any kind of healthy relationship because you're just so, like I said, you're just so preoccupied.
I actually had a moment. It was funny. It was about 2 weekends ago. I went away with 3 of my girlfriends and we went to a place in Ontario called Prince Edward County. And it's like beautiful wineries and cheese shops. And, you know, like we did wine tasting and ate all this amazing food. And I literally had a conscious moment of thinking, oh my God, I can't believe that I have not stressed out about this once, because before that would literally send me into a panic attack. The idea of having to go away for a weekend, and then it would end up just turning into a completely negative experience. And I'm like, you know, sometimes it just kind of like hits you again when you're like, whoa, like I used to be so structured and so hard. And now it's like to those things that some people just take for granted, to go away with their friends or family members and enjoy it. You're just like, wow, like I don't have to, you know, pack my lunch in the car because I'm not going to eat anything they're serving, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely that. I mean, that was a huge. I mean, even this past weekend, I went to a bachelorette party, and the fact that I was like not concerned about what I was eating, when I was eating, what I was doing for exercise is like a huge accomplishment from a year ago. Because yeah, I would have completely let that ruin my whole entire time. And I remember too, like I liked to be in control of that. And so I would like to have, the funny thing is like you think you're in control of it, but you're really like so out of control because it's controlling you. But I would always have like certain healthy snacks like with me and stuff in case, I don't know, just I guess in case like we went out to eat, or what if I couldn't eat that, or what if they were eating something that I quote unquote couldn't eat. And like to not even think about that anymore is like groundbreaking, because it's just such a big change.
Well, yeah, I used to always get too from my family. I remember to always be like, oh, Laura's coming. Like, I don't know what you can eat. What can you eat for dinner? Can you eat this? And then that would stress me out, because then I'd feel like everyone was focusing on what I was eating. And I was like, oh my God, leave me alone. Like,
yeah. And I think some people haven't seen me in a while. So I think a lot of people still think that. Like some people will be, oh, I know you can't eat this. Like we're going to have pizza and I know you won't eat that. But, and I'm like, no, I'm going to eat pizza. Like, so yeah. So still it's crazy now, because some people, like I said, haven't maybe been around me in a couple years or a year or so. Like don't believe that I would eat a piece of pizza. And it's like really bizarre and it sounds so stupid, but it's like in moments like that, that I'm like, wow, I can't believe that.
But that's a huge win. And that's a huge win for you to be able to move past it. You know, like it's people, to somebody who doesn't, I always love this quote. It says, for those who understand, no explanation is necessary. For those who don't, no explanation is ever enough. And like for you to say that to me, you don't have to explain anything, for I get it, right? Because I've been there. But for someone who doesn't understand what it's like, they're like, what do you mean? Like, you can't just eat a piece. That's a win. You can't just eat a piece of pizza. Like, so it's really hard. But I think, again, the people who do get it, it's like, whoa, like even you saying that, they're like, yep, that's me, you know, or like, that's me right now. And I want to get to the other side. I want to ask you though, actually. So right now, in the media and in the fitness industry, there's a big movement towards body positivity. You know, there's a lot of people who are showing up in, you know, big Instagram accounts and all of this stuff. And they're showing obviously different types of body images, but there's a lot of women who are overweight. And there's a big movement towards, you know, love your skin exactly the way you are right now. And then there's still the other side too, which is like the fitness side, where everyone's like, you know, hardcore, still showing off their six-pack abs, talking about, you know, feeling fluffy and whatever the terminology still is. So where do you sit on that? Where do you sit on between, you know, healthy versus either extremes?
So I would say that I would choose like the body positivity movement over fitness any day, because I think 1000% that it's important to be healthy, right? Like, and that could mean different things for different people, but should you move your body? Yes. Like, should you be aware most of the time of what's going into your mouth and like, you know, maybe try to be conscious about those decisions? Like, yes, I think that's important. Of course it is. But at the same time, I know how being obsessed with those two things can really backfire. So I do love the idea of everyone kind of coming together and just like loving themselves for who they are. But I think that something that can kind of go wrong with body positivity is that like, we're still almost putting, we're like glorifying still one type or different types. And so let's say, I don't know, because there's some people that are just like very naturally thin. So what if you're just very naturally thin? Like, are you now not quote unquote desirable anymore? And that's harmful. Like, that's very harmful. It's harmful to anyone and everyone of any body size to praise only one type of body size. So I'm all for fitness, like in the sense of working out and getting strong and whatever. I'm not for like the super intense diets and you have to follow this plan. You have to do this so many times a day, because I used to be like that and it was so like detrimental for me. So yes, I guess you could say I'm for both, because I'm still for moving and doing, you know, feeling strong and powerful. But at the same time, I'm also for, I don't think that there's a certain body type that can do that. I think every type of body can be fit, because we're all so different. So I would say I'm kind of in the middle.
No, I love that. I actually feel the same way. I actually pretty much what you said is the way that I feel. Because I think I believe so strongly in everyone should work out, and not saying working out at the gym, but everyone should be active. I believe everyone should nourish their bodies with real whole foods the majority of the time, because it's been proven to have so many benefits other than just like weight loss. It's like we focus so much on exercise and eating for like weight loss, where it's like, those are the two things that are a foundation to everything else in your health. And I also agree. I think extremes are not good. So, you know, there was one conversation that came up amongst some of my friends. It was a girl who is really into, you know, body positivity, and she's very overweight she just calls herself fat. So she's fat, and again, that's not a bad word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a word. but there was pictures of her all the time just being like, you know, let go, eat whatever you want all the time, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my friend who's also a curvy girl, she was like, you know, I love following women who are curvier, who are into movement and who are into, you know, but that was just, it was like almost too extreme in one direction. And I was like, and we brought up this conversation. That's why I wanted to bring it up with you, because I'm curious as to where other people sit on the fence. And I agree. I think it's very, as soon as somebody starts shaming anyone, whether it's fit shaming, fat shaming, skinny shaming, no one wins.
Right.
So it's like trying to find that place where health can still be involved. I think for me personally, I just think we have to let go of a lot of the focus on aesthetics when it comes to health and focus more on the health. But it's not as sexy and doesn't sell as much. You know what I mean? Like,
right. No, I know. It's so true. But I think it's really starting to change.
And I do too.
I mean, every year I feel like it's getting a little bit better.
And I also feel like there's a lot, you know, with social media, there's a lot of negative things that can happen, right? There's a lot of people who are being glorified for their bodies or for, you know, overworking, like doing unhealthy things themselves. But I also think it's an amazing place for body diversity. Cause you know, when I think back to my 17-year-old self, when my eating disorder started and I'm 5'10", I was taller than everybody. I was bigger than everybody, you know, like when you're 17, you don't want to be bigger than all the boys. And so for me, if I would have been able to see somebody who looked like me when I was that age, because really at that age, the only access I had was to, you know, I don't even think that email, that's really dating myself. I don't even think we use email back then, but it was like, yeah. You know, if you could have had the opportunity to see somebody who looked like you, who was into movement or who was into health, it could be a total game changer. You know, there's girls out there who are heavier and who want to work out with somebody who is heavier and, but who's still healthy and strong and vice versa. So like, I don't know. I just think we're in a really great time for body diversity. And I just think the more that we see people are sharing different types of bodies, different types of movement, I just think everyone, like I said, everyone wins when there's more conversation around it.
I definitely agree. Yeah. I think, and there's a bunch of like even like plus size models and stuff that have, they always post workouts and stuff. And that, I love that. I love that. And I love that the modeling industry is kind of changing towards more acceptance of different types of bodies. And at the same time, like, for example, Sports Illustrated, they're just a brand that I love. And they have all different types of body shapes, but they're still promoting health. Like, they still have all of the different sized models showing, like, different workouts on their social media and stuff. And so they're still promoting balanced health, but they're also saying, like, you don't have to look like this to be healthy. Like, you don't have, this doesn't fit one size. And that's the same for, you could say that for either side of the spectrum for every single body type. Like, it doesn't really have a look.
It's true. And also because we all have a different natural, you know, body type. And mm-hmm. I find a lot of times if you're working against that, you know, your body needs to be in balance. Your body knows, and it's talking to you all the time. It's just that we just sometimes don't want to hear the language that it's speaking to us in.
Right. We try to ignore it.
Yeah. We try to ignore it. We don't, you know, the symptoms, like, to me, symptoms are your body's language. It's like, you know, when you have a rash, your body's trying to tell you, hey, something's irritating me. You know what I mean? Like, but instead of dealing with the root of it, we just tend to put on cream to make the rash go away. And then the rash comes back next week. You know, like, it's kind of like that whole idea of like, when I was able to start to shift my mindset, that was a huge thing for me, was shifting my mindset and looking at my body for the amazing machine that it is. And instead of trying to fight it all the time, I literally had to kind of like befriend it. So when you were saying earlier about the difference between your mind and your body, like lacking that connection, that was a huge thing for me to try to bring that together. Cause I was so out of whack with it. It's like my body's screaming at me and my mind's like, no, I'm not listening to you today. You know, like, so pulling those two things together, and yoga too is very helpful for me as well, even though I don't practice yoga very much. I really should though.
I need to do more. I was doing really well and now I'm not. And I honestly can tell a difference. Like, I can.
Yeah. For me, I also am a huge believer in nature walks. I actually just was interviewing a naturopath last week and we were talking really in depth about that, because I find that like being in nature is the most therapeutic thing. And I just think some people too are more connected to nature than others. So some people might be like, yeah, it doesn't do anything for me, but it's just completely for me changes my stress levels, my connection to myself. I find, and it's free, right? You just go for a walk outside in the forest.
Yes. That has helped me. I try to do that every day if I can, like, even if it's only for 10 minutes, because it, for some reason, and I never saw myself as somebody that was like really into nature, but it really, really, really helps. And even if I'm not listening to a podcast, it helps just to be outside and walk. And it, I don't know, for some reason, it helps me clear my head.
Yeah, for sure.
So, way more than like inside of a gym.
So where do you see yourself going with this? Where do you see yourself? You know, it's an interesting journey that's brought you here. And obviously you've been given, I always believe you've been given struggles for a reason. And, you know, what we choose to do with them is our choice. But I do believe that, you know, this has kind of happened to you, and maybe you don't believe that, but what is next for you then? It's brought you to this place doing the podcast. Where do you want to go with
it? I'm like really into mental health just because of all of this stuff. So it just like really, really interests me. So I right now, actually in September, am most likely starting grad school to get my mental health and counseling degree, because awesome. That's what I really, really want to do, is yeah, I have a pod, like the podcast and stuff, but I'd like to actually like professionally, be able to help other people because I know that it's hard. Like it can be really hard and harder for some than others. So I mean, that's just something. And like I said, it's stuff that I'm already interested in anyway. So I would like to continue and like learn more about that and be able to help on a larger scale, I guess.
I love it.
So that's where I'm at with that.
But I think that's amazing. And every time I speak to you, I can see you doing it. Like you are so well-spoken. You're so real. You're so raw. Like, and I think that that is so important in the healing process. And I think that you will do amazing things, whatever you decide to do.
Thank you.
If you could give, I always end up any of our podcasts with, if you could give one piece of life advice and it could be about, you know, your eating disorder or life or not, it could be just about anything in general that would help women live fiercer, happier, and healthier, what would it be?
Okay. The thing that comes to mind that I still need to remind myself to this day is that I think that I care so much about what other people think about me or if I'm a good person or, oh no, I shouldn't have done that. And this person thinks that. And the way that people feel about you or the things that people say about you are 100,000% never about you. It's about them. So
yes.
That's like so important to me is because I take things so personally, but then when I take a step back, I'm like, this has nothing to do with me. The fact that she or he said this bad thing about me or whatever it may be, it has something to do with them and their own issues that maybe they are not even aware of, but it's not a reflection of yourself.
Oh, so good. I love that.
It's so hard though, but it's so important. And like I said, I still have to tell myself that all the time because I'm very sensitive. So I can easily be affected by someone saying something negative, but it definitely, definitely helps to think about it that way because it's true. Because when I think about me saying something negative about someone else, I'm like, okay, well that came from a place of something in me. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. You can always tie it back.
Well, yeah, it's also, I always say that, you know, if somebody is saying something, there's something you've triggered in that person, because we're all kind of mirrors, right? We're mm-hmm. all show each other different sides of ourselves. And some people show you the things in yourself that you might not like. So then you might say something bad about them in return. But in all reality, it's like, it is always all about you or the person who's saying something bad. Like if someone's saying something bad, it's because typically you've triggered something in them, and it could be jealousy. It could be that you've made them feel not good enough, even though you've not done anything. But yeah, it's interesting. And when I started, actually, I learned that lesson a while ago. And when I started realizing too, the people who had negative reactions to me, and I was like, whoa, like why am I triggering them? You know? And typically then you can kind of start to see why you do, like what in you triggers them. And it's not saying something's wrong with you. It's just saying that something in them is, you're bringing up something in them that they want to be working through.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Right. And that may not even be, like I said, you might not even be aware of it, but I definitely think that's true.
Yeah. It's like stay in your own lane, worry about mm-hmm. what's going on with you.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, awesome. Well, so for anyone who wants more information on you, of course, it's going to be posted on our blog post along with the podcast. But for anyone who's listening who wants to check you out on Instagram or check out your podcast, where can they find you?
So my podcast is called Living Over Losing. You can find it on really any of the platforms. It's definitely on the podcast iTunes app. My website is www.livingoverlosing.com. And my Instagram is my name. So it's at Shelby, S-H-E-L-B-Y-E, Schlange, S-C-H-L-A-N-G-E. And my email address is just my name again, shelbyschlange@gmail.com.
Awesome. And of course, like I said, we'll put links to all of that on our website as well, so you can check out all of Shelby's awesomeness. So we are going to wrap this up. So thank you guys so much for listening today. Of course, we have our upcoming certification programs with Fit Chicks Academy. If you're interested in learning more about holistic fitness and nutrition, we have our fitness and nutrition expert program starting September 26th and our holistic nutrition weight loss expert program starting October 16th. So you can get more info on that at fitchicksacademy.com. Thank you so much, Shelby. And I will talk to you hopefully again very soon.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.